Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. We'd love to hear your thoughts about the show. Our email address, indianaweekend@gmail.com. I'm John Strauss. Thanks for tuning in today. Today we're talking about downtown Muncie and about that new smoking policy at Ball State. First, you may have seen the new campaign for downtown Muncie. It includes a video highlighting elements of downtown life in a very appealing way. We have that video posted on our Facebook page. Just search Facebook for Indiana Weekend and give us a like while you're at it. If you haven't seen the commercial, it's really well done. And the campaign by the Muncie Downtown Development Partnership also includes a new web presence and newspaper ads. They're still looking for support for the $100,000 cost of all this. And in the meantime, some of downtown's best advertising might be the people who live and work there. James Murray has worked downtown since he was just a youngster in his family jewelry business. He and others with a big stake in the community are glad to see the plans for facade restoration, the conversion of the old Roberts Hotel into apartments, plans for some streetscape work. At the same time, he knows that this could take a while. We spoke on the sidewalk outside Murray's Jewelers, the sounds of a fairly busy downtown morning in the background. Next door is the site of the former White River Landing restaurant, now closed.
We're always hoping that more traffic comes downtown, more businesses come downtown, but at the same time, I think just with our family having been here for so long, you get an appreciation for just taking it slow and realizing it's not going to happen overnight. You know, with us, with the landing next door like we were talking about.
Now tell me that. As we walk along here, we're looking next to you is the side of the landing.
Mm-hmm.
How big of a blow was that for you when that closed?
We really miss having a neighbor like that because I think it's good for the overall downtown. You know, we enjoy having them next door to us. We're just, you know, we happen to by chance be located next to them. But, you know, if they were on the other side of downtown, I'd still probably be as sad that they weren't open as if they were, you know, right next to us like they are. So,
you know, you can tell we're in downtown Muncie. Listen, the trains.
Uh-huh. The good and the bad of the trains.
Muncie's downtown is, would you say it's on the way back? How would you describe it?
Oh, I'd say so. Having our family down here since, you know, 120.
The sign on the door says 1885.
Yeah. 128, I think that makes it this year. But having gone through the big draw of McGalliard that sucked the business out of downtown, you know, and not that, you know, I personally am not a huge strip mall McGalliard type shopper myself, but it is what it is, and it had a lot of traffic that went to it, and thus a lot of businesses chased that traffic. That's not to blame those businesses. That made a lot of sense for a lot of business owners. I am thrilled that back then when, you know, my father and my grandfather were making the decisions that they decided to stay put, and, you know, it went through a real rough period there where downtown got this image of being abandoned and dangerous and seedy people walking around, and, you know, we stuck it out through that, and I don't think that it was ever really that bad as the public image perception was out there about it, but, you know, we've stuck that out, and now we've seen an influx of new businesses coming in, and I think it's made a big difference that people are starting to focus back towards downtowns. You know, your segment on Franklin's downtown shows that, you know, even places, you know, smaller and larger than Muncie, you're seeing it a lot in those places, that people are starting to refocus downtown, small independent businesses, people are looking to shop at more than the big chain stores, and I think that's the kind of movement that really pushes places like downtown, and you know, we're getting government grants to building owners for facade restorations, and it's because, you know, people are coming downtown and everyone realizes, oh, we want these downtowns to look nice. You know, on top of having, you know, lots of places for them to shop at, we also want it to look nice, and the historic buildings are a plus. You know, it's not the strip malls that were built in the 1970s and 80s that, you know, are just sterile looking. And
there's some beauty that you can appreciate around here. Exactly. You can walk around and look at history here. You can look at a view of America that doesn't exist in every place. I mean, this is uniquely Muncie.
Yeah, between the Roberts and someone investing money into it to get it up and running as far as the residential goes, which I think that will have an influx of people hopefully living there, which will, you know, maybe, you know, make the landing more attractive to someone walking into and opening up a restaurant or something else. But yeah, the more people we get to move into downtown is good for everything else downtown. You know, that building owner that might not have taken up the grant to, you know, restore his facade now has that much more traffic by, or, you know, hear someone say off the cuff that their building doesn't look quite as nice as the neighbors, and they kind of reassess, okay, yeah, maybe, you know, I'll do my part to put in towards downtown. And a lot of these building owners, I think, do understand that historical aspect of their building. Yeah, you know, okay, maybe this is a 100-year-old building, and either facade or inside has, you know, something hasn't been done for, you know, the last 80 years, and maybe it's time to do that now that the neighbors are doing that. You know, who knows? If it's peer pressure that works, fine. If we can do that and make our building look good and that makes someone else think about doing that, then, you know, I think we've done our part. We've anteed up and tried to make the whole downtown better. And
some people think that the residential piece of this is really critical, that if you get more people living in or near downtown, that's more traffic. That drives the need for commercial development like yours. From what you're hearing from people, are you picking up the sense that more people are moving in?
I think so. I've had a number of customers that have said, you know, oh, I've just moved downtown. I always ask them where at. And I don't know that so much as far as the actual housing surrounding downtown, but a lot of the apartments and the lofts and just the places that are springing up on second and third floors of buildings that people have put money into, the lofts above Kirk's Bike Shop down here in the Mitchell Place, up here above the landing has apartments and stuff. And I really get a feel a lot of those people really like the feel of, you know, somewhat restored, modern-feeling apartments in a downtown, but still maybe in a historic building.
So the apartments are nice. They're up to date.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's Knatzer Building, and they just did restoration, and their building looks phenomenal. It's an old apartment building. It was getting real run down, and it looks phenomenal now.
That is James Murray, who's worked in his family's business in Muncie since he was a youngster, talking about the efforts to improve downtown. You may have seen the Star Press coverage of the campaign by the Muncie Downtown Development Partnership to promote downtown, including that spiffy video ad. Should mention that Murray's Jewelers is a supporter of Indiana Public Radio, by the way. Of course, a lot of people are, and thought James had an interesting viewpoint on downtown.
You're listening to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Have you thought about a career in radio?
I have, actually. My mother, she is in radio. She's a sales manager for 92.3 WTTS in Bloomington. And so I grew up around radio. And she had me do, like, sound segments, like just like this one. When I was a kid, I'd do commercials and stuff.
You like public radio?
Public radio is great. I really like NPR's coverage of musicians and, like, the really offbeat people. I appreciate public radio.
Ball State University's Board of Trustees is expected to vote on a new smoking policy later this month. Smoking now allowed in special zones on campus would be banned completely. The school says that about 16% of students smoked in 2011, down from 19% in 2009. That's compared with 24% of employees. Indiana Weekend contributor Ian Shepherd talked to some campus smokers recently to get their thoughts.
Yeah, I'm a history graduate student. I'll be graduating in May. Yeah, well, when they first decided to establish smoking sections and pretty much make this a smoke-free campus, which is a misnomer, I had sent something into the Daily News that, you know, they're dealing with adults, you know. We are adults, you know, whether it's 41 years old, whether it's 18 years old, you know, it's our right to make that decision. Everybody knows how bad the smoking is for you, you know, but that doesn't stop them from doing it. There's a lot more things going on campus that are far more detrimental to one's health, not to mention, you know, stress, not to mention, you know, the impact of the economy and things like, you know, concern for one's long-term financial well-being. And to address something like this, it seems like it's just a public relations ploy on the part of the administration. And being eliminating it totally, I mean, does that really solve the problem? You know, because it still occurs, even though that they've, you know, you can incur a $50 fine for getting caught smoking out of a non-smoking section. It happens all the time. It happens at the library on a day-to-day basis, and nothing's said or done. And then also when you have parents come to campus for orientation, they do it as well, yet nothing is said. So it seems arbitrary and somewhat petty, unfortunately, that there's this effort to continue to sort of to segregate people with this habit. And also, you know, I mean, in the end, what a lot of money goes into this, you know, and what's the use in the end? You know, what's to be accomplished by it other than being able to say, oh, we're a smoke-free campus?
You are a smoker.
Yes.
And where do you smoke during your breaks?
I paid to have parking in the garage so I could go to my car and smoke on my breaks.
Have you ever used the smoking sections?
I did. When I worked at other buildings, I did use their smoking sections.
I've heard that apparently the smoking sections are really polluted with cigarette butts and stuff like that. Is that true from your experience?
Yes, it is. And that's because people, I mean, it's like any other thing. People need to take responsibilities for their actions. You know, clean up after yourself. A lot of kids were taught that when they were younger. I mean, that's the same here. And that's one reason, too, why I don't go to the smoking sections. You'd have people spitting on the benches where you're supposed to sit down and everything. They are nasty.
So what do you think about this new policy they're implementing here at Ball State?
Actually, I think it's going to cause a lot of problems. There's going to be a lot of aggression from people that usually smoke that can't go and get that stress release. And I hate to say this, but I honestly think the smoking sections that they used to have will be vandalized.
A lot of people are doing what you're doing or planning to do what you're doing, which is smoking in your car. How do you feel about smoking in your car?
I've always smoked in my car, so to me that's not really a problem. I would rather go to my car and be comfortable than to a smoking section where it's nasty.
But is it like you think it's any unhealthier since you're sitting in there and having all the smoke just sit there with while you breathe it in?
Well, I'm sure it is, but I mean, even if you smoke, I mean, it's still unhealthy. I mean, I guess you can give yourself secondhand smoke too, but...
They're offering nicotine patches and methods to get off smoking. Would you take advantage of any of those?
I have. I have tried the Chantix, which it made me crazy. Had mood swings. That was just horrible. I've tried patches. Patches did the same thing to me. At night when I would go to sleep, all my bed clothing would be off when I woke up. And I wouldn't remember anything. Well, then we tried the gum, which, since you know I work in dining, you can't chew gum at work. So, I mean, my options are pretty much gone. I mean, they've given me no other options. The gum was like the last choice.
Since you've been smoking your car, we think a lot of the other employees will do if they don't have that option.
Well, I know a lot of the employees that work here do smoke in their car instead of going to the smoking section. I know personally I have about 5 people that work here that always ask me for my keys on their break, which, you know, I don't mind because I know what it's like to go over there. Not to mention, you know, it's a long walk. You have 15 minutes. It takes you, you know, 7 minutes to get there, 7 minutes to get back. No, I really have time for a cigarette.
So you think this is more detrimental than it would be helpful for anybody who's... This is Ball State trying to get people stop smoking. Do you think this is going to do anything helpful at all?
No, I really don't. Because, I mean, they've offered up the employees' incentives, you know, you quit smoking, you'll get a reduced insurance rate. Well, that's fine if you can, you know, find a way to quit smoking. Unfortunately for me, I've been trying to quit for 3 years and still haven't been successful.
Indiana Weekend contributor Ian Shepherd talking to smokers at Ball State about the proposed total ban on campus smoking that could be voted on later this month and take effect in August. And they say deadlines aren't good for your nerves.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Downtown Muncie is getting a fresh boost from a major new media campaign. You may have seen the new video. Ought to check that out. You can find it at downtownmuncie.org or on our Indiana Weekend Facebook page. The campaign comes amid some other promising signs: renovation of the landmark Roberts Hotel into apartments, another round of facade improvements, more streetscape work, some rethinking of what downtown ought to be. To get a perspective from someone who spent a lot of time at the Center City, we visited with James Murray, who grew up working in his family's jewelry business, Murray's Jewelers. Full disclosure, they're a supporter of Indiana Public Radio, though actually, of course, a lot of people are. Anyway, James Murray loves downtown. It's something you pick up from a lot of people there, and I asked him why.
I think it's just more of a sense of community. I mean, I can't imagine working out on McGalliard and walking out my front door and thinking, okay, I've got to go get in my car to do anything. I can walk out my front door in downtown, and I can go do my banking. I can go get lunch. I can, you know, just do a number of things by walking there. And 9 times out of 10, when I walk in one of those places to do one of those things, I see someone I know. You get out in downtown, you walk around, and as I walk down to Casa del Sol to get my lunch from that restaurant, I pass by Brandon Mundell's Toys Forever, and, you know, him and I went to Burris together and have known each other forever, and I wave inside to him, and you know, it's just that even non-verbal interaction that, you know, if I'm down here at night and, you know, we're down at the Fickle Peach getting a drink or something, I can check on my building. And, you know, if I saw something happening down in front of Brandon's store that was going on that he needs to know about, I hop on Facebook or my cell phone and call him and say, hey, this is going on. But, you know, it's a neighborhood type of feel for business owners.
It's almost like that small town America feeling.
Exactly.
You know, that we kind of got away from a long time.
Yeah, and I'm not a traditionally romantic Americana type of guy necessarily, but I think I just don't really appreciate it on a daily basis like I should. And I've been coming into this jewelry store since I was a toddler, you know, helping dad, you know, with this, that, or the other. And I think you can't take it for granted being down here.
What people always say is, in a setting like this, we need a grocery store, we need a hardware store, as we're walking along here. I mean, I could almost imagine you merchants recruiting your friends to think about, you know, opening up a store.
Yeah, and, you know, Dave Ring, who runs the downtown farm stand, he does a good job with, as far as groceries and organic produce and stuff like that, which is a very good start to that kind of general store feel. You know, a lot of people utilize his store for, you know, produce and lunch and things like that. But, yeah, we could use that more general purpose items kind of feel, because, you know, you've got a Village Pantry down on Jackson, which has a limited supply, but... You know, I remember when the guys at the Fickle Peach were thinking about expanding into another bay, the idea was out there, just floating around. I don't know how seriously they entertained it, but, you know, just a small, real small storefront, general toiletry supplies, bottled water, I mean, just this, that, and the other that you can't find at other locations. And I think that would aid downtown a lot. I don't know that there's one great, perfect spot in an existing building that would work with, but there's lots of opportunities. There's a number of storefronts that are open and available.
So you can imagine that happening before too long.
I think so. You know, as we get more residential and that starts driving more variations of types of businesses, then I think you're going to hit that critical mass where someone's going to say, I can't go out and buy X. And whoever has the ways and means of selling X is going to say, I'm going to move in downtown. There's my niche.
You kind of grew up here, didn't you?
Yeah, and I'm right at that age. I'm 32 right now, but I'm at that age to where I can look back at all of the cool historic buildings that I missed out on and, like, you know, being part of a really long time family business, my brother and I have kind of taken it upon ourselves to be, you know, in a way, the family historians, and like any merchandise or boxes that we come across of our families, we try to keep, but also just interesting, like, you know, articles and tidbits about downtown. You know, I can't probably go a week without hearing a customer talk about Ball Stores that was over here and how phenomenal the architecture was. And though it was still up at a point when I was alive, I was so young, I didn't look at it. I didn't appreciate it. It was a building, and, you know, and then it got knocked down, and it's no longer, and all I have is pictures, and it kind of saddens me that I missed that.
You know what would be great? Walking history tour of Muncie.
And the one great thing that, you know, I'm always, my wife works for Ball State, so I'm always harping on how wonderful that we've got the university here in town, you know, just them partnering with downtown. We've worked out a partnership that when the students are coming in for orientation, there's one day of orientation for each group that they take the parents while their kids are doing orientation, and they bus them downtown. And there are volunteers throughout downtown. My brother does tours. He meets them down at Civic Theater, and he walks them through downtown and shows the parents our thriving downtown and the businesses that are here and the restaurants that are here. And, you know, and they get familiar with Muncie downtown.
Anything coming up? We're heading into spring. I guess Muncie Grow will be coming along at some point. Or
Muncie Grow, what I'm really looking forward to, honestly, is I want to see Canon Commons utilized. I mean, we're really getting into our first full warm summertime season of having Canon Commons open. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be an awesome addition.
This is the area down here, and for people who haven't been.
Yeah, just south of DeFerverand. It's next to, if you know where the YMCA is, it's a big green space in between, you know, the DeFerverand and the YMCA. They've got an amphitheater in it that I think they're going to utilize a lot. I think it's just going to be a wonderful addition to downtown. I mean, we've got the businesses that are moving in. We've got the residential. One of the things we didn't have is a nice, big, open green space available for people to, you know, go walk their dogs or just go lay out or have a picnic or, you know, have a concert. I think MSO might be doing a couple things down here, which, you know, how cool is that? I get to walk out my front door at the end of the day, lock the door, and I might have the possibility to walk around the corner and have a symphony orchestra playing.
James Murray on Downtown Muncie, which is getting a fresh boost this month from a new promotional campaign. Check out downtownmuncie.org for more details and to take a look at the sharp new video they've put together. Then go over to our Indiana Weekend Facebook page and let us know what you think. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you'd like more information or have an idea. Reminder that we always need your stories, your ideas for places we should go and people we should talk to. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.